So I'd like to share with you some observations and thoughts around morality and spirituality. We could say morality is the ideas we hold of what is right and wrong, and we can have individual morals, or we can have societal morals, or collective or national morals, or international morals. So it's this consideration, idea, and notion of what is right and what is wrong, and ethics falls in the same bracket. Some people differentiate between ethics and morals and say morals is our individual beliefs and ideas of what is right and wrong, but our collective or family can have morals, or our nation can have morals. So I'm using it in the broadest sense. Morals and ethics is in what we consider to be right and wrong. So really, you could say morals is an attempt to control human behavior for the benefit of society, or the benefit of a country or community. And often it is to rein in or keep in check our vital movements, those strong urges we have of passion, desire, greed, that can sometimes run amok, so to speak, or impinge upon someone else's safety or well-being or possessions. So we have certain morals in place, do's and don'ts, that this is the right thing and this is the wrong thing. And you could say that is held as a standard for how we behave. And often then laws can be built upon that, that there's a sense of punishment or retribution if we do not adhere to those morals or laws. And also it's a deterrent. If you do this and you're caught, there will be trouble. Before laws, it might have been that you'd be ostracized from the community, or you'd lose your good name, or people would no longer trust you because you set a bar, so to speak, that we as a community or society value this kind of behavior and try to live up to a human ideal. It's a mental idea of what is a good person, a good man or woman. And in a way, you could say that has been useful to many people, but it also has its drawbacks, which we'll get into. But in terms of spirituality, and also it can be abused, so to speak, or perverted. So perhaps we'll get into that. So we look at then that, as we said, morals is this notion, idea of what is right and wrong. So it's mental. But then we have spirituality, which is more concerned with getting past the mind or the mental and into union or connection with that which is beyond the mind, into consciousness, into the divine consciousness. So any mental formation we hold too tightly can become an impediment to that movement to progress, to evolve past the mind and into the spiritual. So that's the differentiation. And as you know, every region or country or area or continent might have different value systems, different morals of what is good and bad. And often we clash over that, or we point the finger at the other and say they're lacking in morals or they have a low moral standard. But it may just be a different moral standard depending on their history, their religion that developed there or was brought in, even their geography. Are they isolated? Are they remote? What has been their interaction with other countries? Have new ideas germinated there. So we all have different standards, and often more and more, I suppose, there's a fusion of what we consider an ideal, moral human being. And of course, then there's those, you could say, who scorn morals, who laugh at them. They've no value in them. You could say they embrace a more hedonistic lifestyle, or else, you know, they're more driven by their vital energies. They may play the morals on the surface, but behind the scenes they're stealing or usurping or hurting or in some way not adhering to those values because they don't see them as productive for themselves. So different levels of morality, and then those who pay lip service to it and those who value it and try to adhere to it. And then we have really there are those who say, I'm going beyond morals, but really they're just trying to say, I don't want to be bound by morals, and they just want to justify their own desires and appetites, and they excuse themselves on some ground that they have a higher understanding or a deep realization, when in fact they're just trying to get what they want. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for values in their purest form, in that to help broaden past the family unit and into collective, what's good for the collective, or what's good for its smooth harmony of even business, social interaction, relationships, trade. But then what happens if morals are somehow used to control a population, so that those, you could say, with power and governance, that twist the morals of the collective to suit their own agenda, whether that be financial or power? Because originally, you see, morals were used to control behavior, to help people not to fall into all vital movements of revenge or stealing or murder or taking, and it was just like, that's not acceptable. But you can see it probably quite easily in the media, how they often twist what is a value or try to impose our values on another country or area or even within our own population. There can be subgroups, and we say they're not behaving the way we want. And of course, laws, it can really fuel a kind of sense of righteousness in people, that, oh, this isn't good, we need to change them or force them into our way. But our idea of what is a good person or a bad person can be very limited. And from the spiritual perspective, because really I want to relate this to our spirituality and our awakening. So for example, if we have, say, what we consider a generous person, and then maybe an extreme is a greedy person. So the generous person may give and give, and he's lauded in society. What a great man or woman. They give so much, and they have a force of giving. It's a force of nature that allows them to give, to give, to give. And that sense of praise can lead to a kind of self-satisfaction. Oh, how good I am. You know, I'm a good person. So it's very much on the human level, humanhood. I'm a good person. And that self-satisfaction can lead to a stagnation that doesn't allow one to go past our mental level. And especially for those who maybe consider that morals and spirituality are the same thing, that to be a moral person is a spiritual person. But that's not necessarily the case. Because, as we said, morals are to do with the mental and spirituality is to go beyond the mental. And then on the other extreme, we may have a greedy person who just gathers, 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 takes, takes, takes for himself or his family. And he has that power of nature to gather. It's a force, an ability. So they both have different abilities. One is to give out and the other is to take. And of course, that gathering can fuel the egoic greed and desire and not caring about what others have. I just have enough for me. I want everything. So two forces, to give and to take. And they both serve maybe one a vital ego, desire, and maybe another sattvic ego, a kind of mental idea of how good I am. So both serve a limited self, an ego. Yet if both of them were to use that same force, or to consecrate that force, or consecrate the ability to have to give for the divine, for spirit, then they're giving on behalf of spirit or taking on behalf of spirit. And then it's just an ability that's used on behalf of spirit, for spirit. And they're both useful abilities. So it's always not what we do, but is who do we do it for, or what do we do it for? Do we do it for the divine, or we do it for ourselves? And the divine can use both of those abilities to its own end if they're consecrated. But yet, as a society, we may look down on the greedy person and up to the other one. And yet, it all depends on the consecration. Is there activity for the Lord? And if it's only to adhere to a societal moral, then there's a limit on that as well. And then if it's even lower than that bar, where it's, you know, for vital greed, it's even below the mental, it's at the vital level. But really, both must be transcended, this seemingly polar opposite of generous and greedy. So it's very, just as we can be a slave to our own desires and appetites, it's a kind of slavery, we're pulled along by them. We can also be a slave to the morals of society, that society dictates to us what is expected of you and what defines a good person, and that's it. So you could say it's a useful bar to aspire to. It's a kind of stepping stone. These morals or ethics can be a stepping stone from the vital and then to the mental, and then from the mental beyond. But with any stepping stone, if you remain on it, then you fail to progress. And progression, evolution, is what we aspire to on the spiritual path, to move beyond all limits. And there is, you could say, an energy or a hold that morals can have on us, especially if we feel a deep connection to spirit and we have to really act in a different way that society might say, no, that's not appropriate. There's this force that pulls at us to conform to the majority. And it's kind of like a gravitational force in a way, like a herd mentality, that it pulls people in. There's a safety in this collective. This is the way we do things. And indeed, you could say we've no really right to abandon morals until we're ready to obey a higher law, the divine law. And that divine law is much more rigorous than any moral law. And that we can give ourselves to that, that we unify with that divine law. And that our action then springs from this connection with the divine, that we're moved by that divine, and it may not always conform to what people think is appropriate, whether that be, you know, the morals of your family or your country or a church. So daring to act outside of moral expectation can give people trepidation. There's a lovely line in the Bhagavad Gita, I think it's in the last chapter, and it says, abandon all dharmas, have faith in me alone, I will deliver thee from all sin and evil, do not grieve. And, you know, abandon all dharmas. It means give up all laws or morals or duties that is expected. Have faith in me alone. It means have faith in the divine. I will deliver thee from all sin and evil. So I will deliver thee from ignorance or limitation or missing the mark. Do not grieve, so do not worry, don't fret, no fear, because you have full faith in the divine. This doesn't mean that one, if one becomes a spiritual person, a spiritual man or woman, that they're immoral. You could say that they're just following a higher consciousness, a different set of laws that is quite rigorous, but is received directly. And is much different from maybe the immorality of, you know, just looking after our vital impulses or desires or doing what we want or greed. There's a sense of really giving ourselves to the divine and serving the divine and being one with the divine. And of course this deepens and deepens. So I share this with you to maybe spark a curiosity within you to see what morals may be limiting you. whether that's in your family or in society or in a different religion or spiritual practice you may be in. And learn to differentiate the difference between morals and true spirituality. And not be too quick to judge those who may not be acting within the normal framework. So, you know, I'm glad there are morals, but don't be bound by them. The morals of society or a group can help protect it, and especially from those who are less conscious and more prone to violence and greed, and that there's a structure in place to help, but also to learn to recognize when that can become a barrier to our spiritual progression. And be very careful of the limitation of being a virtuous, obedient man or woman. Connect to the one self and know yourself beyond your human self and your nature, and let that which you recognize then inform your lower nature and your actions in the world. And be very careful of those who play on the human conditioning and human will to be obedient and be good and to care for the general community. They can often be very easily manipulated by surface morals. Do this to save society. Do as we tell you, and then you will be safe. If you don't do as we tell you, you put people in danger, and you will be excommunicated, censored, punished. What was the one a couple of years ago? Oh, I can't remember now, it slips my mind. Oh, no one's safe until we're all safe. It played on this idea of safety, and that if you didn't do your part, you would be contributing to the danger or health of others. It was a very low play, and that which has since proven to be not so true. Many who followed that have been injured themselves or know others who have been injured. It was a falsehood, and it was used by those in control to benefit for themselves, or to control or financial gain. If there's a huge pressure on you to comply with group movements or what the state or authority tell you must be done, and they hide or block any different information, then you're being controlled. There's some kind of perversion going on that you're not allowed to hear different perspectives and arguments. And it's a very human thing to want to be safe and to care for others. but it can be abused by those with less scruples and those with less morals, funnily enough. Often those with very strong vitals that want to dominate, control, benefit. But yet the divine is always here, and no one is barred from opening to divine, and no one can be, no matter what the state of play around you. And true security is finding the divine, but within you, around you, above. And of course, it takes a certain strength to be able to follow that inner prompting, to follow the will of the divine. And not to be swayed or pulled down by desires or greed or lower movements, and not to be contained or enslaved by mental formation, a mental idea of what I should be that has been set by other people. And as you come to recognize your deeper self, to recognize you as a soul, an emanation of the one self, you know that we've moved through many lives. And the purpose is not to become an ideal human in the mental sense, but to maybe you could say become a divine expression of the One. And this can take many expressions and forms. But its fragrance is freedom. And there's a love in it and a care and a non-judgment for even those who are playing out the lower movements. There is a, you could say, the slow yoga of nature. The Divine Mother is working out the revolution. And what can we do but welcome them forward? Encourage. So I wish you well, and I hope you find that divine connection that guides you and leads your activity and also provides you with true security. Thank you.